Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, but Doug loves movies.
Everybody. My name is Doug and I love movies. See, I've just finally learned how to milk that. Like, there's always that weird, like, the applause dies down and then there's a few seconds before I start talking. And I could just fix that by just milking the applause by bowing while I'm setting up. Like, just doing extra, like, yes, hey, what's up? That kind of thing. Oh my God, we got two bags. I don't even have all three guests stuff because one of the guests is, you know, you guys know this story. They're en route, and if they don't make it, thank God Jordan's in the front row, ready to go. Did I say this is Doug Loves Movies coming to you as it always does, most weeks, most of the time, 92% of the time, from the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater before the live show Comedy Bang Bang, which has now become a TV show on IFC. Yeah! It's Tuesday, April 3rd, 2 Oceans 12. And finally, it is happening. Tonight, I have managed to round up two out of three people, hopefully three people, to compete in the next round of the Leonard Maltin Tournament of Championships. But first, I'm going to talk for 20 minutes. Click it or ticket. Since I last spoke and you listened, I did a 420 show at Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin, where Graham Elwood bested three audience members with awesome name tags before being beaten by Jordan with his JoJo Dancer Your Life is Calling name tag. Because his name is Jordan. I guess they call him JoJo. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have said JoJo Dancer Your Life is Calling. For those who've been asking, we play the Leonard Maltin game at most of my stand-up shows, except on 420 at Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington, because I'll be recording my new album that night, and I need all the time I can get to accomplish that, so we can't play the Leonard Maltin game. Now it's time for Watch That, Not This. The number one movie in the country is The Hunger Games, which you may have heard I'm not that crazy about. Although, you know one thing I could say about The Hunger Games? It means people are still reading. Because if those books weren't popular, that movie would have fucking tanked. So it means people are reading, and I do appreciate that. Same thing with Twilight. The number two movie is Wrath of the Titans, which I'm not really interested in seeing. It's like, what's going to happen? Put back the Kraken! So watch whatever the hell you want. This has been Watch Whatever the Hell You Want. I don't even have an opinion. See Bully or I will beat you. From the corrections department, I've been told that people bounce off of instead of crashing through windows in Permanent Midnight and Hudsucker Proxy. Two movies I watched once and then put in the forget about it file. So I'm glad that's cleared up. Now it's time for tweet relief. Tweets about movies. Past and future Douglas Movies guest Dan Telfer tweeted, "How's that guy's zoo working out? Did he fall in love with that model turned zookeeper? Did a tiger devour his daughter? New wombat house?" This has been Tweet Relief. Tweets about movies where someone buys a zoo plays a factor. Someone buys a zoo. That would be just as good as we bought a zoo. Someone buys a zoo. Turns out it's not worth watching. It's just somebody. Some guy bought a zoo. Normally very charismatic guy playing a boring guy. Good call, Matt Damon. All right, the third round of Tournament of Championships 3 is about to begin. Let's see what you guys are going to win. Holy shit. From the lead-up, still left over from the lead-up, one of your bags tonight is, it's written right here, I'll just read it to you, is an electronic guitar bag. So I think this part right here, if you turn this speaker on, maybe you can play it like a guitar, and it's on a fucking bag. It's on a merce that you would carry over your shoulder. It's fucking crazy. One of my guests brought a nice framed picture that was drawn by my guest, and it says Principal Rockaway had a different agenda. And then it's a guy shuffling papers around. So I don't know. She said to me, she's like, "I don't even like this one." But it came off the wall, and oh, this is exciting. From not a guest tonight, but this is a program from last year's Action Fest, the film festival with a body count that happens in Asheville, North Carolina every year around this time. And so there's a program from last year's, and then just to get you fired up about it. I hope it works. And then someone's going to get an Action Fest t-shirt. And Action Fest this year, I believe, is the 12th to the 15th. I can't attend this year because I'm going to be at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in Portland, Oregon. But I'm on board for Action Fest next year because it's all action movies. And it's programmed by the guy who does Midnight Madness at the Toronto Film Festival, where he showed Raid last September. The Raid, I should say. He didn't show a can of bug spray. He showed The Raid, Redemption, Ghost Protocol, and I didn't get to see it in Toronto, but I did see it at South by Southwest, and it's amazing. So I have some Action Fest t-shirts. I'm going to just throw them into the audience, because whoever wins the bag only needs to win one shirt, if you know what I'm saying. That's how it works. Is there somebody that would like a baby tee? Raise your hands if you're a baby tee. Here you go. All right, so somebody's going to win an Action Fest shirt. And then also, oh, there's so many good things. Oh, also from Action Fest, the kind of movie they play there, Ong Bak. On, oh, it's not on Blu-ray? That's a piece of shit. How rude. Oh, my God, you guys. This is totally going to give away who's coming here, but the complete Garfunkel and Oates collection. All signed by both of the girls because Ricky's backstage just hanging out. And all three of the smash hit directorial achievements of Edgar Wright on Blu-ray. And also The Adventures of Tintin, which he does not take full credit for because he is a gentleman. And he co-wrote it and did not direct it. And holy shit, what else is here? I think one last thing. A motion picture. Do you guys remember the recent reboot of Star Trek? That's in here too. Please welcome Kate McCucci, Edgar Wright, and Simon Pegg. Okay, for the record, I did not milk that in any way. Everyone just came out and sat down. This is going to be the most docile panel that we've had on this show in a while, so I'm very excited. Simon's already got the microphone several feet from his face. He's not anxious to jump in.
No, I'm just taking it. I just got here, as you know.
Yeah, I'm glad you made it. Thank you for making it on time.
My pleasure.
That's as exciting as the J.J. Abrams action sequence. Let me ask, just right off the bat, we gotta go Ghost Protocol. I'm obsessed with Ghost Protocol, the subtitle and the movie. And I just have to ask you, were you personally relieved that the mask making machine was going to be on the fritz in this movie, so no one ever had to pull their face off and be somebody else?
I was slightly disappointed, but the thing is, if you do play a character wearing a mask, then some other actor comes in and plays you whilst they're doing that thing. So it's not always that fun if you're an agent, because you get, there's a great action sequence, but it's some other actor playing your part. So I was kind of pleased that that I didn't have to wear a mask, but I was also personally relieved by Tom on a daily basis. Anyway,
I don't know how he does it. Is there a more positive life force in the universe?
I swear to God, anyone that comes within 5 feet of him just falls in love with him. I was like, he's so yummy. It's unbelievable. He's a dreamboat.
Having met him as well, I can confirm that if you meet Tom Cruise, he will reduce you to being an 11-year-old girl.
I saw it happen with him.
If you are an 11-year-old girl, you will explode.
He said to Edgar when he came. Edgar came to see me on the Mission Impossible 3 set, you directed Shaun of the Dead. You directed that. That was good. That was great. And he just kept saying positive affirmations. And Edgar was
the weirdest thing about it. I just have to give the set the scene. As I'm walking onto the set of it's IMF, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking, you always call it Mission Impossible GP. It's only one letter away. If it was Ghost Protocol Service, it would be Mission Impossible GPS. It's so close.
In Spain, it's called Protocol Fantasma, which is, I think, it's better.
That makes it sound like Ghostbusters.
Did you know that, I learned this last night on Conan O'Brien's show, Kate McCucci's last name has the hilarious word coochie in it. Which I'd never drawn that. I even go McCoochie. I even give it a little extra, get it away from Coochie.
I like the way you say my last name. It's really cool because it has a little extra, like, ew to it.
Yeah, yeah. McCoochie is here, everybody. Yeah, that's what I say.
I was trying to text Kate's name to a friend, and my iPhone, the autocorrect made it into Kate Mitchum.
Which is a way better name. It's way cooler.
It's an action figure, yeah.
Like the new Cynthia Rothrock.
You're like
Robert for Mitchum, the older members of the audience.
Robert Mitchum's granddaughter, you know. I saw that Rear Window thing.
It was a fact. It was just a fact. It wasn't a joke. It was an observation, and
that's
was a fact.
That's who she could be. Yeah, that's who she could be. But then I just remembered looking at you that we both watched that somebody did that awesome recut of Rear Window that only takes like 3 minutes to watch and doesn't have Jimmy Stewart in it.
You say that luck is a bad thing.
No, but it's really cool.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Like somebody else had tweeted about it, and I watched it, and then I saw you tweet about it. And then I brought it up here. Listen, you guys, I'm going to walk you through all of this because I need it. Jordan's here all the time. He has a baseball that he uses as his name tag. And I got to say, Simon, about you, that the time that you and Rainn Wilson and James Gunn all ran onto the show, you have to run into everywhere you go now. You only play characters that are trying to fix shit in a hurry and run in at the last minute and survive.
There's a time limit on what I'm doing. There was a little timer in my car and it was counting down to zero and I got here just at one, which is how I like it, to be honest. So,
yeah, you always bring it down to the wire. And that happened at South by Southwest last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And the three of you, though, it was amazing because people can go back and listen to it. I've had guests on the show that have been on numerous times that can't figure out how the games work. And you and James Gunn and Rainn Wilson were like, negative names. Like, you were on it. You were, like, going for it without even knowing what you were doing. But I like, was not even knowing the rules.
I was driving here tonight, literally going, how the fuck does that game work? I can't remember.
I have complete confidence that you will pick it up again and be an absolute menace.
I hope so.
Now, I don't know if we played Build a Title, though, on that particular show. That might have been before I was playing it on every episode, and it's hard to pick up. People have a hard time with it. So we'll start with Kate and go to Edgar and then Simon and see what happens. But let's talk movies for a few more seconds since we've got Kate McCucci here.
Hi.
No, I was going to ask you about, are you still on that show, Raising Hope, Ghost Protocol?
Raising Hope, Ghost Protocol. Yes, I am
Protocol
on that
Phantasma.
Show. Yeah. Raising Hope Phantasma. No, I don't know now. No, the show I'm on is Raising Hope, and yeah, I think it has a few more episodes. I'm not sure when the final. I think it's in a few weeks. The series finale, season finale, I should say.
Oh, you went all British for us.
It's not on the bubble. It's doing great, right?
No, it's doing well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So that'll be back, and you'll be back for more when it's back.
I hope so.
Okay. Still officially recurring.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Well, it gives you time to go out with Garfunkel.
Exactly. Garfunkel's here.
Yeah, I know. I mentioned she's backstage. Oh. All the stuff you brought is signed by the two of you, which is awesome. And thank you for being here, and I hope you aren't too intimidated by who you're going up against.
I am, actually. I will say I'm very intimidated. Because here's the thing.
Edgar has heard you on the show, and he knows. You use Ghost Protocol. You're not... People don't expect you to win, but here you're sitting here today.
Are you authorized to use that? Because
but the thing about it is I'm...
She's also off the grid, and...
Is she rogue?
She's totally rogue.
Oh, shit.
If she's rogue, off the grid, Ghost Protocol.
I do look very dangerous.
What about if you pulled your mask off and you were John Oates?
Oh, my God. That would be kind of awesome. I wish I could do that. But
I wish these guys would stop saying mask. It's not a religious center. It's a thing. It's rubber on your face.
Wait.
It's a fucking mask.
Have you not seen Jim Carrey's The Mosque?
I have. That's when he started doing dramas. And he was one majestic away from ruining his career. But Dumb and Dumber, he's doing it again, finally.
Really?
It's really happening. Wow. Yeah, I don't know if Jeff Daniels is doing it. But is he? Is he in? Okay, Jeff Daniels is in. More explosive diarrhea.
I can't get enough of that shit.
I can't. That's how you say it. None of this shite shit. Do you think you could get J.J. Abrams to call the next Star Trek, Star Trek 2 Ghost Protocol?
Sure.
He's
got a sense of humor.
What was the prequel to Dumb and Dumber called?
Dumb and Dumberer. Right?
Wouldn't it be great to have a wormhole in time where they met the younger actors as well? Wouldn't that be a great like sequel to Dumb and Dumber?
Who's high now?
I always thought that was a missed opportunity with Napoleon Dynamite, is that both John Heder and, is it Efren Ramirez? Yeah. Is that his name?
Yeah.
The guy who plays Pedro. They both have twin brothers. Both those actors have twin brothers.
What?
And in the first one, there's, they have a plot line with this time machine. Like, obvious fucking sequel. Like, go back in time and meet the other brothers. Like,
they blew it by waiting 6 years and making a cartoon nobody wanted to watch.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I was like, I love that movie, but I was like, cartoon? Okay. Whatevs. Edgar, what can you tell us, if anything, about the movie that you were writing with Simon?
I can only tell you that it's written, and hopefully we'll do it very soon. That's all I can tell you.
Let me see if I can get more out of Simon. He's right here.
I've got it on my iPhone. We can do a little reading
if
you like.
If you don't mind.
No. Same. It's what he said.
I'll tell you all about it.
Great.
Here we go. Does it have ukuleles?
Oh, plenty of them.
All right.
In Italy, it will have the word phantasma in the title.
Yes.
People are just excited, I think. I know I am. I want to see what's
next. We get superstitious, though. I don't put a jinx on it.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I shot the cover for my new album, and it's me in a hoodie. And now I'm like, are people going to think that this tragic thing occurred? And I was like, I got a funny idea. It's all about timing. So I was in Minneapolis, and I texted you a picture of, there's this bar there. Do you know of it, Simon?
Oh, I've heard. Is
that's,
the,
it's yes. Donnie Dirks, I wrote it down, Zombie Bar. And they only show horror movies on the TVs, you know, never any sports or shit like that. And all of the people behind the bar, all the bartenders wear white T-shirts and red ties, like Shaun in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
And it's in a really shitty, weird, creepy part of town. But all the, you know, kind of cooler kids seem to find it, and I had a really nice time.
I want to go there just to see if I get a free drink. Because if I don't, I'd be so fucking annoyed.
I'll tell you, I said,
do you know who I am?
I texted it to Edgar, and then he wrote back, tell everybody I say hello, or something nice like that. Like, you know, that kind of shit that he says. And then...
Mosk.
I went over the... tell everyone I love mosques. And I can't believe I'm the loud, obnoxious one for once. I wish Jeff Garland could have been in that third seat.
What was so weird about that text that you sent me is I was in Tallahassee in Florida in a bar called the Fermentation Lounge that was having a zombie killer night, and they had invited me there, and people were dressed up as zombies, and they had horror films playing on the TV, and then I got the text from you, and then like Napoleon and Pedro's brothers came in, and Simon, and then they pulled their face off, and it was Simon underneath, and Oates was there, and it was fucking crazy.
From Hall & Oates, not you.
We know John Oates, not to brag or anything, but it's really nice.
You know Johnny O?
Yeah, Johnny O. When Johnny O emails me, he'll say, hey, Oates, which I think is nice. But he's totally cool with me having his name.
Oates to Oates. I love it. That's great. But anyway, so I went over to the bartender, one of the bartenders. It's just one of those things where somebody there thinks it's a great theme for a bar, but it's not like everyone there is just like lives and breathes horror, and you know. And so I said to the one guy, "Hey, I'm friends with Edgar Wright," and he just wanted me to say, "Hey," I told him about this bar, and the guy was like, you know, just like nodding, like I didn't want to go further and be like. Edgar Wright directed the movie that you're dressed up as. But it was just, you know, it was just, those things are always weird. But I still, I got so excited.
The reason he gave you that reaction is I've been there before and didn't pay my tab.
Oh, shit. You slipped out in some sort of mosque?
Eric Stoltz in mosque.
Sounds like a headline.
Yeah, he got drunk and stumbled into a mosque. made some trouble.
Can I try my Mosque of Zorro joke again?
Because I was
really, it went well. I didn't.
I think I stepped on it. I'm sorry. I apologize. I recently did a Benson movie interruption where we sit in the front row, me and some friends of mine, and we have microphones and we, you know, lovingly crack jokes during. Sometimes we show really good movies, and we showed MI4GP, and it was so much fun. And so I know that Kate and Edgar, I've asked them both to participate, and Kate is just like, I don't know if I can make jokes about a movie while it's happening. And that's a pretty accurate impression.
This is pretty
and, and Edgar was like,
Mosque.
I forbid you to show up.
Yeah, there was one movie I was going to show, John Carpenter's The Thing, because it's awesome, and I thought it'd be fun to watch it and comment on it, and he was just like, that's sacrilege. You can't show a classic. So now that I know the rules...
I like texting the words, I forbid you, Doug.
Yes. You were very determined to stop me from doing it. But, so let me just run this one by you. The next one on April 11th, Wednesday... 1 week from tomorrow is going to be The Gray.
I like that.
Where I'm hoping to get the opportunity to, as Liam Neeson, go, okay, I need you to get under the wolf. next, you're going to be taken.
And I have a certain set of skills.
Yes. Yeah. He's got to have a certain set of skills if he's in the snow and there are wolves. If he's going to make it to the end. I hope it's not one of those twisty things where he gets killed early on, but...
There's a guy,
the next one we're going to do.
There's an actor in that movie, The Grey, whose name is like Joe Anderson, and he's also in The Ruins, and he's also in that horror show, The River. And the thing you should take from this is never go on holiday with that guy.
He's very cursed individual. So Simon, I'm asking you in front of everybody, is that something you would do, sit and make wise during a movie?
That
you weren't involved with, or one that you were involved with, if you were in.
We actually did a live commentary on Shaun of the Dead once in the UK
with an audience.
That's a classic,
and you talk during it.
You know what?
You made it.
We're allowed to.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. But
it became a bit of a mess as well. We never put it on the DVDs.
It was just us talking over each other.
People started watching the movie, and
well, yeah, but that's what happens. Like during Ghost Protocol, we would.
I know what you were saying.
We would, you know, lose ourselves in the movie for a while, but then it's also just, it's so much more fun during the parts where, you know, I'd seen it already, but some had seen it for the first time, but it's just fun that, you know, during action sequences, it's fun to also have laughs.
It's brilliantly ludicrous, that film. I mean, yeah. we kind of all know it. It's willfully ludicrous, and I think that's part of the appeal of it, you know, so it's totally ripe for taking the piss out of, I think.
But I don't think anyone insulted the performances per se.
You better fucking not have done. I came from the Palisades tonight, you bastard. The traffic was terrible. 1 second was left on the clock.
You made it, man. You always make it. Because that was one thing I noticed watching it again. Everything that Benji tells them is definitely going to work doesn't work at some point.
Yeah, everything breaks.
Everything breaks at some point, or you stick your face in where it's not supposed to be.
Yeah. That's a deleted scene. There's a scene.
No, in front of that camera, not Tom Cruise.
Not Paula. Oh, Tom.
Or Paula.
Either or, to be honest. They're both gorgeous.
It's a deleted scene.
What a sexy set.
It's a deleted scene of Benji French kissing a mosque.
We had to cut it out for religious reasons. But there's a bit at the beginning when Ethan first gets the mission and the thing doesn't blow up. And that's what always happens in the movies, is this will self-destruct in 5 seconds and it doesn't go. And it's a little harbinger that everything breaks in the film. And I kind of thought that was fun.
And he walks over and, you know, we realize that it hasn't gone off. He walks over and hits it like he's Fonzie.
Yeah. Because he kind of is a Fonzie for the modern age.
He's a total Fonzie. Only Fonzie could drive a car off of the fourth story of a parking garage and be like, the airbag's going to take care of me.
And then go like that, stop the wheel blowing up and say, sit on it. I did a thumb there for those listeners.
If only, why aren't you feeding lines to Tom on the set?
Oh, fuck. Do you know what? This is a true story and it was enormous fun. Tom, I used to do Michael Caine voice on set because it would be, come on set like this, and I'd say, right.
We're gonna hear yours in a second, Kate.
I'd say, right, here we go. We're going to do a scene now, Tom. And I want you to do the same as me.
And he became obsessed with, because he's so focused on what he wants to achieve, he wanted to get the voice right. So I could essentially make Tom say anything I wanted just by saying it in a Michael Caine voice, because he would repeat it back to me in the Michael Caine voice. So I come on set in the morning and go, hello, Tom. And he go, hello, Simon. And then I go, big, fat, airy balls. And he would say, whatever. And I would get giddy with excitement because I was drunk with power, because I could control Tom Cruise, and I would laugh so much my eyes bled. He's a fucking hoot, that guy.
I've been in his presence a couple of times and it's overwhelming.
It is when he's looking at you going, big hairy balls. It's the weirdest thing in your life.
I wouldn't be able to take it because I can't talk to him or Michael Caine if they were both in one super awesome person. Fucking Tom Cruise should play Michael Caine in the Michael Caine story. He get to fuck a black lady.
He's Indian, sorry. He's already close. He's already played Austin Powers. And Michael Caine is Austin Powers' dad.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
That's the kind of competition we're dealing with tonight.
Oh, Jesus, he's one the worst. He knows everything.
Well, I was going to ask you about movie interruptions. In a real cinema, what's the weirdest or funniest thing that somebody has said out loud, you know, when you've been watching a movie for real?
Oh, that's a good one.
I have a good weird one.
Oh, is that the Jules?
No, that wasn't happened to me. I was in the screening of, I went to see Hostel 2 in like what the Empire. There's that terrible one in New York that's like a fire trap. That's like 40 screens, like the Ewok or something like that. It's got this horrible escalator that goes all the way up. And it was like a 1 p.m. showing. And there was me and like a couple sitting right at the back. And there was basically a couple at the back and me. And then about an hour and 10 minutes into the film, if anybody's ever seen Hostel Part 2, there's a scene where somebody is being eaten. Like there's a sort of a body and there's a cannibal eating this man on this platter. And this guy came into the screen, sat right next to me and went, "Beautiful."
"Nice. Here we go."
And then I moved one seat away. Like I was having a, like he was having a piss next to me. I was like, I'm just going to go one away.
Or like you were two buddies that went there together. You always have that one seat in between. People like to have that barrier there. All right, let me ask you guys this. Do any of you hunger for games?
Yes.
It's time to play. We're going to start with Build a Title. Hopefully Simon will pick up on this. It's unnecessarily difficult to figure out, and that's part of why I love it. We'll start with Kate. The beginner title suggested by Son of Dribbler on Twitter.
Big fan of his dad.
Yeah, I hope he lives up to the legacy of Dribbler. The movie is called Army of Darkness. So you need to... There's a person that likes it. So you need to end with... You got to start with Darkness. Or part of Darkness, or end with Army, or part of Army.
Oh, I get it.
You know what I'm saying.
Okay.
See, he's good at this shit.
Wait, no, there's a movie, but it's something in the Army, but it's in the Army now? Or
yeah, the now ruins it.
Darn it.
Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
Pauly Shore and
that's not helping.
Andy Dick.
No, it isn't helping. Shoot, okay. Is there a movie called, like, Darkness Falls?
Yes, Darkness is. Falls.
Okay, cool.
I thought.
Thank goodness.
For a second, I thought you said Darkness Balls.
Darkness Balls.
Darkness Balls. Darkness Balls. That's
I can do it with you too.
That's a hard one to get down. Was Mel Gibson in The Beaver? Was The Beaver Michael Caine? Was he doing him?
What do you mean?
Have you seen it?
I haven't.
He's got a Cockney. He seems like he's doing Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. That's
what people said about it. But I thought I'd find out from you. Go suffer through The Beaver and let me know.
I feel like
it's actually not that bad. It's not that bad, actually. Go suffer through The Beaver
and let me know.
Endure The Beaver.
I feel like Falls is going to be really hard.
Yeah, that's part of the fun.
Yeah,
Darkness Falls. Well, they can go. Yeah, you're right. Falls is a hard word to start off a title with, but you still got Army on the other end, Edgar.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, no, the Falls, the S on the end of Falls fucks it all up, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. But Army is a fun word to build off of. I thought of one.
Can I just say I have no idea what's going on?
You thought you had it, then you lost it?
I was joking when I said I had it.
Oh. Well, Edgar might... This might be Kate's to win, because Edgar might not be able to add to it.
Oh, there must be an Army, something ending with Army. It's got to be.
Yeah. Especially
Army
part of Army.
Oh, right,
there's
right.
There's parts of Army that I think there's lots of titles that would fit. Oh. Interesting.
Ah.
You know.
I'm kind of stumped a little bit.
Let me think.
I know. Let me think. Hang on a second.
You hang on a second.
You were so flirty when you said that. You hang on a second.
I might have to sit this one out.
Okay, that's fair.
At the moment.
It doesn't matter who wins.
Doesn't it?
Kind of matters. Okay, Simon, so do you have any idea how to play this?
No.
I'll give you, just for the fun of it, I'll give you my example. We'll call Kate the winner, but my example would be, I would add to the beginning, funny farmy of darkness. Because you can use part of the word instead of the whole word. So right. You don't necessarily need all of army. You just need the arm part to go funny farmy of darkness. And then you could also go a bridge too far me of darkness, done. Like that. And then on falls, I wouldn't know what the fuck to do with that. All's fair in love and something.
Falls well that ends well.
All's well that ends well. Yeah. You think that's a movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it? Is it a movie?
If Benji says it is, he never does anything wrong. You gotta trust Benji. Yep. Also, isn't it funny that Tom Cruise goes outside of the biggest, tallest building in the world?
Yeah.
And then, that guy from the Bomb Squad movie, Jeremy Renner, Jeffrey Dahmer, he only has to jump 20 feet, and he belabors it and worries about it after Tom Cruise just showed off right in front of him.
That's true.
But thank you. That's not, all I
not,
needed.
He's
I
not just Ethan. Needed,
all I needed was confirmation
he's
that I wasn't
Ethan
crazy.
Hunt.
He's not Ethan Hunt.
Do you know
he's
what I mean?
But he's still pretty badass. He has some badass.
And if Michael Caine said Ethan Hunt, it would be Cockney rhyming slang.
All right. Falls well that ends well.
One Brit in the audience got that.
You Ethan Hunt.
You have to add to funny or something that ends in funny or something that begins with well.
Okay.
I just thought of one. I thought of a really good one.
I wish there was a movie called Ain't That Funny.
Let's do it
right
here.
It would really come in handy right now if there was one.
And then, I'm thinking there's got to be like some Wellington something or like a... or whelp, I don't know. That's my answer, I don't know.
Okay, that means Simon is our winner. Well done, Simon. And I'll have to double check and see if All's Well That Ends Well is a movie.
Do it when I go.
But I thought of All's Well That Ends Well Mariachi.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've played it a few times. I'm not trying to show off. Let's play the Leonard Maltin game. As you can see, gentlemen and lady, there are name tags that people have crafted out of all sorts of crazy things. And a skull over there, is that a real skull? Okay, I'll take your word for it. There's Zach to the Future over there. There's somebody wrote their name on a dugout, which I appreciate. And what's that? You're holding matches. I need those too. I need a dugout and matches. Now somebody hold up some weed with a name written on it. We're good to go. But anyway, go out into the audience, each and every one of you. You can put your microphones down and just pick the name tag that you would like to play for tonight to win all these amazing things that you guys brought for me to give away. While they're doing that, I'll mention that I'm going to be at the Skyline Comedy Cafe in Appleton, Wisconsin on April 9th. I'll be in Portland, Oregon doing Douglas Movies on April 14th and April 15th at a club called Helium. I'll be in Brea, California.
What's with all the cocks? What's with the cocks?
Oh, people drew naughty pictures on them? Yeah, what is with that? Is that like a...
I saw two. That one there looked like it was a penis... urinating on a piece.
What it said, stay classy.
Is that a tribute to Superbad drawing penises on everything?
Greg Mottola's here somewhere.
That's
in the
what
audience,
I.
Actually.
That's why I brought it up. I think that's awesome. Anyway, maybe at the Brea Improv in Brea, California, on the 16th. DouglasMovies.com for all my dates. Simon is playing for the guy who crafted a Zach to the Future sign. That's
you gotta love the artistry.
Very
there,
nice. And don't read what that says on the back. That's if he loses, that's his consolation prize, as I will say that out loud.
Okay.
And what is Simon? I mean, you're both Simon to me. You know, all British people are Simon. You know, what do you got there, Edgar?
It's a skull. It's a jewel encrusted skull, probably from Gem Madness.
You know that was the original title of Indiana Jones 4? And the jewel-encrusted skull. And what's her name?
It's Carla with a K.
Carla with a K.
No shitheads on the back there.
Okay, so she'll have to come over and write it down if need be. But I, you know, my money's on Edgar tonight, as it always is. And what do you have there? You have a big cookie, Kate.
It says Lauren. It's sort of hard to tell that it says Lauren, but it looks amazing.
It looks, yeah, it looks amazing and nothing like Lauren.
Yeah.
She nailed everything but the word Lauren.
Maybe on that it's giant, in Braille?
Giant cookie. Did she write anything on the back?
Oh, it says Lauren.
It says Lauren on the back as well? She wants me
no,
to call herself a shithead?
There's no shitheads on the
okay,
back.
Okay, cool.
Just chocolate chips.
All right. Well, we'll touch base with them later as need be, as we need to. The Leonard Maltin game, we're going to start with you, Simon, and then we'll go to Edgar and Kate. And you get to pick a category, as you might recall from when you played at South by Southwest.
Yeah.
Which whatever category you think you'll most likely know the answer, the name of the movie. Your first option from at Mr_Jowee, J-O-W-E-E, on Twitter. He suggested Everybody Must Get Boned. Which is movies that feature an orgy scene. Or, the guy behind me, what? I've been missing those movies. Chipwrecked didn't have an orgy scene. At Badass
Gags. But the Squeakquel did.
The Squeakquel certainly did. That's what all the squeaking was about. Badass Gags suggested no homo. No, you know, like the expression no homo. But no homo as in a movie where the main character's home is destroyed. No homo. People are getting creative with this shit. Or it's our friend, past and future guest of the show, Adam Scott's birthday. So the films of Adam Scott. So which one of those would you like, Simon?
I'd like to go for no homo, please.
No homo. Wait, what did I say this category was? I mixed it up with another category.
Films where a home is destroyed?
I totally messed it up with another category, but I got this. I mixed it up with no home, bro.
Oh.
Let me tell you what no homo is. No homo is movies where all the characters are in a hotel or a motel. So you can see why I would mix those up.
Fine.
They're similar in some ways, but we'll go no home, bro, since that's what
no
you asked
home
for.
No home bros, okay, fine.
So this is a home gets destroyed in this movie from 2005. It takes place in the state of Denver. I'm just kidding. 3 stars from Leonard for this movie where a home gets destroyed from 2005. He calls this movie not your parents' romantic star vehicle. He also says this movie has a dynamic score. Yeah, those are great clues. You're on your way. And he lists 9 names. So reading from the bottom of the list up, as you recall, how many names do you think you can get the title of this movie?
What's the least I can offer?
You can go the full 9 if you want, and then leave it up to Edgar to chip away at the bidding.
What, like... Explain it again.
I think I know what it is.
This might be the only show where the more you do it, the less you're able to do it.
I'm just older than I was last year.
Like you get contact Alzheimer's from me. You just say I can name it 9 names. You'll get all the names, and then
I can name it 9 names.
Edgar will have to bring the bidding down, which he more than likely will do. And then it doesn't come back around to you unless it gets to Kate.
Okay, I'll say I can do it in 5 names.
Yeah, see, that's Edgar's style. He chips away at it and puts Kate in a position. Now she has to either say name that movie or go for less names.
4 names.
Okay, now it's back to you.
2 names.
Benji. Oh, so I said, John! Like, I get confused and just think you're a character from a movie I like.
I like it when you call me Benji.
I am going to go name that movie.
Holy shit. So here's what happens, Benji.
Tell me, Ethan.
You get the 4 names. I'm going to need you to take these 4 names.
I said two.
Oh, shit. 2 names. I'm going to need you to hear these two names.
Yeah.
And then tell me the name of this movie. And one of the names, I think, in your particular case, is a great clue. Mm-hmm. Three stars from Leonard. Not Your Parents' Romantic Star Vehicle. 2005. Dynamic score. And your two names are Michelle Monaghan and Rachel Huntley. So they're the ninth and eighth billed people in this movie.
Is it... Oh, it's not what I thought.
House Gets Destroyed.
House Gets Destroyed. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
No. Awesome guess, though. What is it, Edgar?
I'm not sure that I know.
Kate?
I have no idea.
The panel is stumped. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
That's what I thought it was.
Damn it. Michelle Monaghan has a small part in
she
it.
Does?
And I thought since she was in...
That fucking blew
since
it
she
for
had
me.
A small part in part four, spoiler.
I was going to go...
you know what? It did have a driving score.
Damn.
No, you're thinking of Drive.
this movie
had a dynamic score. Yeah, so...
I don't remember her being that.
If you hadn't said Edgar Michelle made Monaghan...
It? That's probably the first point you've ever gotten by making someone else name it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Using Sam Levine's tricks.
Sam the Man, a.k.a. Lil Wolverine. All right, this means we're going to start with Kate, and then we'll move to Edgar. And you guys are playing to 3 points, and the show's already running long, and I don't care. Yeah, we're going to do this. This has to happen. Or we could just stop and continue at another time if you're all going to be available again. No, you're very hard to pin down. First category choice, Kate, is Everybody Dies. That's a motion picture where at the end, everyone's dead.
Okay.
The squeakquel.
Or at Diarrhea Volcano. At Diarrhea Volcano suggested Dawn of the Dead.
And now, is that a name
and
of
that's
a per-
movies. That's movies. That's their Twitter name. That's their handle.
All right.
Diarrhea Volcano.
But is that a person or is that a company?
Oh, yeah, I didn't click on it to see what they were, but I think it's a person. But Dawn of the Dead is movies where Don Cheadle dies. And at All Wasted Hours suggested The Artist, which is movies about painters. Which one of those would you like to play, Kate?
Let's go with The Artist.
Okay. Wow, you get 3 choices here for a year. Would you like an artist movie from 96, 2000, or 2002?
2000.
Interesting maneuver.
Good year. What? It's a great year. 2000. Anybody here from 2000?
We were so innocent back then. 3.5 stars from Leonard. He calls this movie, no pun intended, a vivid portrait. And he says that the screenplay is from a book. And an audience member says, lovely. 3.5 stars, 2000. It's about painters or painting. And there are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 names. How many names do you think you can get it in,
book,
Kate?
Huh?
Kate McHugie?
I think I can get 2 names.
Whoa. That's a strong opening bid, Edgar. What are you going to do with that?
I have a couple of ideas, but I'm not entirely sure. So I will say name that movie.
Okay. Would you like all the clues again?
Is it Pollock?
Yes.
Well done.
The 2 names are Seda Thompson and Tom Bauer. That would have so helped you. Why would you take such a risk? All right, so Benji's the only one with a goose egg at this point, but I'm confident in him because he always gets it done at the last minute. He's very exciting. He will fix the Enterprise right at the last minute. Okay, so what happened there? Edgar challenged Kate. So we'll start with Simon. and then we'll go to Edgar. And you get the category choices between at Fresh Sesh suggested no home bro. but since that already got taken, I'll say no homo, and that's movies in a motel or a hotel. And then bully, that's movies where a character in the film is bullied. And yeah, I want to give a shout out. I haven't seen that documentary yet, but it sounds important. And at Death by Donkey suggested Howard the Flock, and that's movies featuring anyone in Ron Howard's family. Yeah, so we're talking Rance Howard. We're talking his dad, Howard.
But Clint Howard is that's in Rance. Every movie.
We're talking about Clint. Yeah, Clint works a lot, especially every Ron Howard movie. And he always finds a way to get him in there, and it's never like, doesn't stick out. He fits in a small, weird part. Anyway,
Is he in Willow?
I think he's in every one of his movies, but that might be one that, you know, he skipped out on. Maybe he didn't want to go to Yugoslavia or wherever. I don't know where they shot it. Probably shot it at Pinewood. Anyway, what do you think of those categories?
I love them, first off. I think I'm going to go for no homo, just for the, you know, latent homophobia involved in the...
It's fun. But
which
these
is
movies,
always funny and ironically bullying.
These movies are only kind of homophobic. And you get to choose between two different years of movies that take place primarily in a hotel or motel.
Right.
And you get 1998 or 2003.
1998.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leonard Maltin calls this movie a bomb on a scale of bomb to 4 stars. He calls it slow, stilted, completely pointless. And he also says the result is an insult. And there are 13 names. 13 names. How many names do you think you can do?
I'll go 8.
Simon says 8.
I will go -1.
Oh!
Look who's stepping up.
Shizmo.
All right, so then we go to Kate.
I have to say name that movie.
Yeah, so you get to name it and the top billed person.
It is Gus Van Sant's Psycho, and it stars Vince Vaughn.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That is some serious shit. Because I said slow, stilted, completely pointless, and was wise enough to back off a scene-for-scene remake.
But it has a couple of extra shots in it, doesn't it? In the shower scene, they cut in like shots of cows being slaughtered. Yeah. Have you ever seen it?
That's just the British version. No, I don't remember that. I mean, maybe they did something like that, but essentially it was shot.
Oh, yeah,
for
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Which took all of it's just so a weird experience just watching it. Just, I mean, it's kind of like watching the American Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I'm just kidding. They're very different. Okay, so what just happened? No, we're playing to 3. This is the tournament. Yeah, I got this. Okay, so Edgar got the point, and who challenged him? Kate?
I challenged him.
Okay, so this time we'll go to Simon and then to Kate. And Simon gets to pick between at Pink Dino Death suggested My Fife. And that's movies where someone plays a flute. My Fife. Or movies with 4 letters in the titles, that's like Swat or Paul or Milk. That's right. Or I Am Paul Bauer suggested Razzie Winners. That's movies that have won a Razzie for worst film of the year during the, I believe the Razzies have been around for 72 years. So which one of those?
I'll go for the 4-letter title ones.
Okay, 4-letter word is the title of this movie. You get 3 choices on dates. Would you like 1980, 1985, or 1992?
I'm going to go with 92.
Okay, if you'd have gone 85, it was Mosque.
That's six letters.
Yeah, that's got Q-U-E on the end.
M-O-S-Q-U-E, for fuck's sake.
Or isn't Mask of the Red Death, isn't that M-A-S-Q-U-E? Anyway, 1982, 1.5 stars, appallingly
82
bad.
82 or 92?
92,
92.
92, I'm sorry. That's as excitable as they get.
Pedantic.
What year? 92, appallingly bad movie. And he also says it's a heavy-handed mess. Let me give you one more thing. That's not much to say. Some sweet moments at the outset, but this is a heavy-handed mess. 1.5 stars has 4 letters in the title, 1992, and Leonard lists 13 names? Yeah, 13 names. Simon says...
I'll go 8.
8 names. Kate?
7.
Okay, poker face.
5.
Oh, he always has to show off. You could have said to her to name her that. She wouldn't have been able to. But then maybe she would have been able to. She uses Ghost Protocol.
Oh, yeah? Watch this. 4.
Oh.
Is that me now?
Yeah.
Name that movie.
Oh, shit. Would you like the clues again, Simon?
Yes.
Or would you like to drive the microphone into your eye?
Bit of both, if I'm honest.
1.5 stars, yeah. Appallingly bad movie, heavy-handed mess, but it has sweet moments at the outset. And there was 13 names total. You get 4 of them. Mm-hmm. And they are going to be no help to you whatsoever.
Good.
Yardley Smith, Art Matrano, Blake Clark, and Jamie Foxx. Yeah, right? I didn't know he was in that. I saw it and everything.
92.
Yeah.
With you, little man.
Any idea?
Not really. Sorry, Zach.
You've just created a 2-way tie for first that does not include you.
That's the really answer, not very Benji, is it?
The answer is Toys.
Toys!
Barry Levinson's Toys, starring Robin Williams. And we have a 2-way tie for first. Benji's got quite a hole to dig out of.
Do I like it?
Ethan Hunt is dangling somewhere. You can do this for Ethan. If you had a comeback, I wouldn't care if this took another hour. Just to watch you come back and take it. So who challenged? Simon.
I challenge.
Okay, so we'll start with Edgar and then go to Kate. So Edgar, you get to pick. AC Cannon suggested Requiem for a Bean, and that's movies where Sean Bean dies. Simone Silvana suggested Rocky movies, and that's films that have an earthquake in them. And at Kubrick87 says, first 13 PG-13s. That's the first 13 movies that got designated the PG-13 rating. Oh. Yeah, which one of those would you like to place, Edgar?
Get off your phone.
I can't. I've got dinner plans. Edgar. I'm just telling him I'm going to be late.
I'm kind of intrigued by this.
There should have been, Benji should have been doing that. Whenever there's some the shit going down, he's also texting
somebody.
I'm going to
be late for dinner.
Not going to make it. Can we go to a later showing?
I'm just telling my wife. Yeah.
Let's go for the PG-13s.
Okay. You probably know a lot about that, so it's a sneaky category. Would you like a PG-13, one of the first, from 1984 or 1984?
1984. I'll
go for 1984. Because it started in 1984. Yeah. 3 stars from Leonard. He calls this movie broad. And he also says that the score won an Oscar. And it's 3 stars from 1984, and there's 6 names listed. How many names do you think you can get it in, Edgar, for the win?
1984, PG-13.
Yeah. One of the first ones. One of the first 13.
What are the clues again?
Broad, score won an Oscar. 6 names. No coughing the clues.
Well, I think it is. Maybe, no. I don't know if it's that. I might go. I may as well go try.
Don't say might.
Crazy.
You have to go or not go.
Well, let's go. I'm not sure about this, but let's go negative one. The ones that I thought it was, the two that I know were the first two, I know got bad reviews by Leonard, and this is not one of them. So I'm going to have to go for, like, let's go
negative
one.
Yeah, he gave it three
one.
Stars.
Yeah.
Okay, so you say negative
Gremlins
one.
Because Gremlins and Temple of Doom, which were the first two PG-13s, got bad reviews by Leonard. So I would have got that. Okay, let's
all
go
right,
negative
well,
one. I've got an
right.
idea.
Okay,
I got an idea.
You've
I
said some
wrong.
Mistruths, but yeah, okay. So
both two stars.
Then it goes to Kate, right? Yeah. So
name
she
that
says
movie.
Name it. So what's you went negative one? So you have to name it and the lead performer.
I think I'm wrong.
Yeah. I think so too. So Kate's gonna be our winner.
Is it Ghostbusters with Bill Murray?
No.
Oh.
No.
What was it?
It was The Woman in Red with Gene Wilder.
Oh, my God.
Which
three
was,
stars?
Which was one of two movies that were the first two movies that were PG-13. The same day as Dreamscape came out with PG-13. It was a week after, it was right after they started PG-13. Women in Red and that. Oh, no, Red Dawn came out the first week. Then the second week was two movies, Dreamscape and Women in Red. And then, of course, there were many more to come. But the reason PG-13 was invented was Gremlins and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Yeah. I love it. All right, so Kate is our winner. Woo!
Well done, well done.
But let me tell you some more about the history of PG-13. All right, so you're playing for Lauren's cookie.
Yes, but and, Lauren needs to tell me who...
Lauren gets to come and collect all the fabulous prizes. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. She gets to name a shithead. It was the skull that gets the prizes. I got confused. Wait, Kate won, right?
Oh, wait, yes.
Jesus.
Oh, right.
I wish I could remember to edit that part out. That really says Lauren?
No, that says Doug.
Oh, it says Doug. Oh. It's two different cookies. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you for my Doug cookie. There you go. You get all that stuff. And yeah, I'll just hang on to that for a second. And Edgar's shithead needs to be proclaimed. Could you come over with the skull and whoever the skull belongs to? You don't have to bring the skull. You can leave that filthy skull over there. But just right there, somebody you'd like me to call a shithead. This is a pretty good one. That's fun. All right. So our winner today is Simon Pegg, everybody. Thought I'd give everybody a chance to have a moment of thinking that they won. You were so good at that game at South by
Southwest. You know what? I honestly thought it was Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and then that fucking Monaghan thing threw me off, and I lost the game. What can I say? It was a good match. I enjoyed it. We had a good time.
At the end of the day, it is a competition, and someone's got to win, and it wasn't me, but that's fair enough. So I look forward to playing it again next time, and maybe I'll have a better chance. Anyway, thanks. Thanks, Doug.
I would love to have you on again, and, you know, I'll email you, but I would love for you to help us interrupt a movie sometime.
Absolutely, love to.
Okay, great. And do you guys have anything in particular you want to plug? Kate, do you have anything you want to tell anybody about?
Oh, yes, my show, Playing with Micucci, is...
She's glad. She said last night at Coda, she's glad her parents didn't name her Sharon.
Yeah. I'd have a different profession. It's at the Steve Allen Theater on the 14th of April.
Yay.
Come on by.
Edgar, everything's top secret, right? You can't talk about anything.
Well, no, actually, later on tonight, I'm going to be in the street burning a copy of The Woman in Red.
And it was PG-13 for sexiness. It wasn't even violence. Like, they invented it because of violence, and then they're like, the first thing they slap it on is you can't see Kelly LeBrock's boobs. Okay, and Simon, anything? Any release dates? When's Star Trek 2 coming out?
May 13th next year, and it's going very well, and we're all very excited. That's all I can say. But I have a film coming out this year. It's a little British film called Fantastic Fear of Everything, and that there will be a trailer online this week. I'm not sure when it's going to be out here, but it's June 8th in the UK if you're on holiday.
And it's people listen to this in the UK.
Oh, good. Well,
especially this one with you fucking.
You mask motherfuckers.
Mask lovers all over the UK are rejoicing. All right. Well, thank you. Let's hear it for all three of them. What a fantastic, amazing. This means that, against all odds, Cade McCucci will be competing in the finals of this tournament of championships.
Uh-oh.
Against the amazing, these guys are both amazing at this game, a comedian Andy Wood and madman John Hamm. Yeah. As soon as we can get the three of them in a room together, it will happen. So wish me luck on that. And as always, Morrissey is a shithead. And Chris Angel is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another hockey. Eyes of Gold is viewing prowess makes him cocky.